Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense. We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies. Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com. Follow us on Twitter at School Sucks Show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is Christmas. Merry Christmas. In the opening to the show there, you were getting just a little sample of some of the exciting new Christmas music coming out of these socially aware college campuses all over America. I hope you enjoy these songs. And on this very special day, a gift for you of sorts. So let me tell you a little bit about what I'm doing here. There's a new year upon us. In that new year, 2016, if you don't have a calendar in front of you, there's going to be many exciting changes coming for the School Sucks Project. And one of those changes is a lot more material added to our bonus content section, which I call the AV Club. In fact, probably about half of what we produce in 2016 will wind up being bonus material. Now, don't worry, we're going to produce more in this coming year, so there'll still be plenty of free but valuable podcast entries. But there is a cost for the storage of audio files online and the bandwidth needed to download them. So I need to start clearing some of the older stuff out. And as I've said before, I always get a little bit discouraged when I see some of these entries that I thought were really entertaining and even educational. There's plenty of educational stuff in the bonus content section as well. Have 12 listens or 15 or even 25 listens. That's not enough. So I made myself a little list of some of the items that I thought were undiscovered or underappreciated, and I'm going to let them go today for free. This also provides me an opportunity to express my gratitude to you, the listener, for your participation and your engagement in the School Sucks Project. I am really, really grateful that you still listen to the show. There are a lot of podcasts out there. Now, granted, many of them suck, but there are a lot of people competing for your precious time and attention. And this is the best method that I have of sending a nice little gift to thousands and thousands of people. So don't try to listen to all this stuff today. You know, spend time with your family, your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or your husband, or your wife, and your kids, and your grandma. Oh gosh, your grandma. You know, don't let grandma wind up in the corner while you argue with your uncle and your dad about Donald Trump. Bring her into the fold. She's got stories. She lived through Operation Desert Storm. But yeah, that's it for now. There's more news coming on the changes we're going to be making in 2016. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas or whatever, and a happy new year. And you know what? I'm proud of this collection of additional content that we produced. If you're already a subscriber, if you're already making a monthly contribution and you're a member of the AV Club, I hope there's some exciting discoveries in these next 9 installments. And of course, if you're a regular listener and you're still listening, which means you find this show entertaining and valuable, I hope you'll consider supporting us. You go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV and you can sign up there. Thank you in advance. What you're about to hear is the After School Sucks special from March 21st, 2013. It was a follow-up to our learning theories discussion. In this special, we talk about the Joe Rogan Experience, lost learning opportunities, connectivism, government secrecy and security clearance, intelligence, the grooming of Obama, UFOs, Majestic 12, and Project Disclosure.
Do you like your liberty mixed with a dose of horny? I knew you would. This is Jamie with Wheels Off Liberty inviting you to listen to Liberty Radio Network harder and deeper than you ever have before. While you're at it, check out willsoffliberty.com and listen to the show that Mark Edge describes as a heaping pile of doo-doo. That's willsoffliberty.com.
Don't let school take you out of the real world. Never lose touch with what's going on outside of the classroom. One of the big problems we face is that kids are taken out of anything resembling a real world for 4 years for college, and they've lost that perceptive power of entrepreneurship because they don't have any connection to what's really going on in the real world anymore. Don't let school take you out of the real world.
Hey, everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm in the studio still with Osborne, if you're just joining us. Hey.
Hey.
All right. Well, we talked about learning theories in the first hour, and I read a short paper that I had actually written. It's quite the young man, 24, I think.
A youngsman?
The youngman.
A schoolsman.
Yeah. When I was a graduate student at the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts. In 2002 and 2003, I kind of toyed with the idea of getting a master's degree in education. Decided it wasn't for me. And part of that was I also got a job that didn't require it, that paid pretty well for where I was in the western part of Massachusetts and the southern part of Vermont. Was really raking it in, I thought, at the time. So that's my story. Did you want to talk a little bit about connectivism, that other educational philosophy? I can read to the folks about it. Before we do that, somebody in the chat says they sent me a contact request. I just checked that, and I do not see any contact requests sent to me in Skype. I am online on Skype. A School Sucks Live is our username. Maybe someone could give us a call. We could test that out. You can also, if you've got a telephone, you can call us at 843. Join SSP. The purpose of doing this show is to interact with listeners, to get input from listeners. So please feel free to give us a call. 843. Join SSP. Skype in School Sucks Live. If somebody claims they sent a contact request, unfortunately, I don't see anything. That could be some kind of a technical issue. But if you want to try again, I've got it open right in front of me, and I will continue to look at it.
I thought the purpose of this show was to see how long we can hold our bladder. Evidently not.
No, do you need to go to the bathroom?
No.
Because we can take breaks for that whenever we want.
I can hold.
I'm just looking through the chat. Somebody said my Chris Matthews impression from Wheels Off Liberty sounded like Mark Levin.
I was just listening to him in the car, sadly. He was the one talking about the Barack Obama speech.
Oh, yeah. I bet he's real amped up about that. Chris Matthews, people are quoting Chris Matthews in the chat. Here's one. Thank God for the hurricane. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was a classic.
That's a paraphrase of that quote. But he's like, I'm so glad that storm came right after Obama got reelected. And you can hear, who was it? Maddow. Like in the background, you can hear it go, oh, you idiot.
Speaking of horrible newsmans, I was listening to your recent podcast with a couple other gentlemen where you were talking about the media.
Oh,
and whatnot. And you went over the Piers Morgan thing.
Yeah.
And I forgot just how insane he has been over these gun issues. And then I also coincidentally saw some videos today. Evidently, he was on this show called America's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah. That's what he's famous for.
That's what he's famous for?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
In America.
Your speaker's on.
Oh, thanks.
It's just getting weird. And I saw him, a couple clips of him just being completely outrageous to some particular performers that I enjoy and who have had great success after being completely dissed by him and told that they were completely worthless.
That's so interesting that you say that, because America's Got Talent is a show that I watched a couple times. And so he's the kind of the token Brit on the panel of judges for a talent show. And my first impression of Piers Morgan was, wow, he's like a nice Simon Cowell. And then when I saw that he was getting a show on CNN to take the place of Larry King, I was like, oh, he's that polite British gentleman. That was my, ironically, that was my impression of
him. Interesting.
Is that he was
My, how things change.
Yeah, I'm sure he seems like just the worst person. But whoever that, let's see. I just wanted to finish up in the chat here. Chris Matthews did not say my hero, Saul Alinsky. Did he really say hate groups like We Are Change? Really? Hmm. So anyway, someone want to call? What would be something that we could really do to offend people? Punish them for not calling. You know why we're not getting calls? Because we're not on LRN. That's where all our calls came from.
Really?
Yeah. They all came from LRN. People listening to talk radio are people who want to call talk radio a lot of the time.
Right. But you think people who would go to the trouble to log in and listen to this show would also be for calling.
You would think.
Otherwise, they just wait for a podcast to come out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they could certainly. But they people like the chat, and I like that they like the chat, and I'm glad they're here.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not judging you for not calling, so don't feel like that's what I'm doing, kids.
Should we have a full-time chat on the website?
Yeah, that's something I could set up. People could just jump in there, say whatever they want. Hey, my name's Steve. I'm in Portland, and I'm looking for a date. You could do that.
Or would it make sense to just use the forums on the site?
Well, no. I think we, Over and I, actually experimented with that chat feature on the original website where there was just a tab you could go and you could chat. It was just like an open chat room. And nobody really used it, but we might not have had enough users then. So we just crossed 2,000 people have registered for the new site. Nice. I'm sure more than 800 of them are not spammers, you know? Okay. So I would say it's definitely over 1,200, 1,300 legitimate users. That site we had before only had like 300 people ever sign up. So there are a lot of people on the site. There are certainly people who are more active. And, you know, I think the chat feature might be a good thing to have a 24-hour chat room. I think that's a cool idea. Maybe people could go and get question answered. I mean, I could sit in there all day. This is all I do. You know, I'm always, I added 30 pieces of content to the AV Club, including that clip that we just played.
Wow.
So a huge list of stuff. A lot of stuff that I debated putting out as podcast, but I'm trying to hold back on the podcast a little bit, you know? 5-6 shows a month. When you put out a bunch of shows all at once, people skip over them. You know, like if you put out like a show every day, they don't get that many downloads each. It makes for a good week, but a lot of people skip them that way. So, all right. Just to add, so when I edit this to what we were talking about before.
People are different in their podcast listening than I am, I think. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of podcasts I listen to where they get to the end and they're like, oh, we better wrap this up, otherwise no one's going to listen. Like, they have to keep it to a certain length.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, do more, damn it.
What's
like,
a show?
I want to listen to a 4-hour podcast.
What's a show that you think?
That one in particular is Paleo Health and Fitness or something like that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you'd love Rogan. Rogan will do 3 hours.
Oh. Now, does he do once a week?
No, he does like 3 times a week. It's pretty much like his bread and butter right now. I mean, he still does like stand up, and he has a fitness like supplement company called onit.com. But the podcast is pretty much his full-time gig. He'll get nice and baked and have a really good conversation. Now, Rogan doesn't have, I this is what I was saying before about Rogan, is that he doesn't seem to have anything at the center of all of his thinking. Like I didn't for so long. So everything can be explored. And I think that what would be ideal is to be able to have something anchoring your thinking, like, you know, objectivism, the non-aggression principle, property rights. Like it's good if you can always keep those things in the center, but still be willing to at least entertain all kinds of ideas. And even if you do adhere to the objectivist philosophy, if somebody wants to talk to me about ghosts, I'll talk to them about friggin' ghosts for an hour.
Sure.
You know, and maybe there's something educational in it. One of the most educational experiences that I had was with an 8-year-old boy, you know. I had some of the most exciting, they weren't always like learning experiences, but there was a lot of learning in that for me about astronomy and Project Disclosure, where they want the government to declassify all this UFO stuff. Oh. I learned working with that boy and looking at his interest in UFOs and aliens, we researched this thing called Project Disclosure, where there's some guy who was an MD, emergency room doctor, left that profession to do research and put pressure on the government to open up these classified documents that they have. Through that, I learned how the hierarchy works of security and secrecy in government, and that there's like six security clearance levels above the president.
Really?
So this is like the plausible deniability thing, supposedly. Where
I have that at my company.
What do you mean?
Like, there's things I don't want to know about.
Really?
Right.
That you delegate to other people.
Sure.
So, but these would be things that the president's security level, but you could, if you said, you could go in there and say, okay, everyone, we're changing shit. Now I need to know everything. The structure.
There's still people who know better than to let me know things.
But the structure of government does not allow the president to know certain things.
Interesting. So I never knew such a thing.
Can somebody?
I thought like once you get in that office, like they open the books to you. Like, here's all these things to know. So who gets these levels above the president? Are these like generals or like CIA directors or?
That's a good question. Unfortunately,
is there someone with the clearance to know all and see all? Probably not, right? It's got to be like compartmentalized and stuff.
I think so. Yeah, I wouldn't think, but we don't know. I mean, there could be whole branches, or not branches, but whole government departments that we don't even know exist.
Oh, that's certainly true.
And I mean, this guy, I forget his name, Steve something, and he was using a lot of trickery on Rogan to talking about his UFO stuff, and either he might be kind of like part shyster, part really believes it, but recognizes that some shystiness is needed to continue to push these ideas. Meredith says the Prez is just a PR guy. I like that. I think there's definitely some truth to that.
Figurehead.
Yeah. I also think that a lot of people, like, that's not serious power, right? Like, the president of the United States is kind of a clowny man, or maybe woman someday, right? Like, most of the people, a lot of, like, pretty dipshitty people have held that office. So everything couldn't be left in the hands of that person. Plus, it's a temporary job. So wouldn't there be a temptation to leave office and reveal a bunch of secrets for somebody? Because
why don't they blow the lid on that shit?
Yeah, because they don't know.
Right. They either don't know or they have some, like, serious shit held over their head, right?
Mm.
Like, I almost believe that, like, you aren't allowed in that place until people have enough dirt on you to just hold that over your head. Like, or maybe it's just blatant threat. Like, I will wipe your lineage from the face of the planet if you speak these words.
I would think that stuff is just intertwined with politics generally.
Like, you never see a president that doesn't have a family, right?
I can't... Who was Buchanan? Wasn't married? There, Garfield. One of them didn't have a wife.
Hmm.
There was one president who was a bachelor who had never been married or anything. Hmm. But obviously that was going back, I think, 100 years, and a lot could have changed. Probably good for them to have a couple of little daughters.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even have like CIA back then, right?
No, the CIA was created after World War II, and it came out of something called the OSS, which was the Office of Strategic Services. And it's a real Nazi kind of thing. I'm just looking up levels of security clearance. Did you ever see that movie, The Good Shepherd?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that when we.
You'll have to pardon me here. I'm trying to see if I can get like a top secret more stringent clearance. A top secret TS clearance is often given as a result of single scope background investigation. Compartmented. As with TS clearances, sensitive compartmented information clearances are assigned only after one has been through the rigors of single scope background investigation and special adjudication process evaluating the investigation. Just give me like the list of levels. Individuals who had their security clearances revoked.
Hmm.
John Deutsch, head of the CIA. Robert Oppenheimer.
My brother was denied top secret clearance in the military because of me, or that's what he was told.
Really?
Yes. Your brother is involved in extremist groups and activities, what they told him.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That is kind of cool. I'm not finding what I need here, and unfortunately, I'm not logged into the chat, and links in the chat appear to be disabled. Somebody in the chat writes 1953. That might have been the origin of the CIA. It was the OSS. Brett, did you see the episode with Kokesh? No, what? The episode of what? That must have been when we were... Oh, sorry, I jumped back. That must have been when Meredith asked, was he mad, your brother?
No, he thought it was amusing, too.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think he actually wanted to do the job they were trying to clear him for.
Do you know what the job was?
I won't repeat it.
Yeah. Well, I used to deal with, when I was a recruiter, people had to have clearance to work on those nuclear sites.
Yeah.
So, I really want to find this list. Top secret, secret, confidential. There was like a whole tier of them, and I think they were numbered, identified by code names. Goddamn. Military operation by code name, NATO reporting name.
So are these levels of secrecy reasons why government people declare wars that are turn out to be unjustified in the...
Wait, because they don't have all the information?
For example, weapons of mass destruction, that kind of thing.
Well, this guy was actually... Well, if you look at the weapons of mass destruction thing, the person who wound up getting shit all over for that was Tenet, right? Who was... George Tenet was the director of the CIA, where they said it was a slam dunk, right? So then all of these people who really aren't in the know, like Bush and Cheney and Colin Powell, kind of go and spread that information. And then they're like, well, wait a minute. We were told that the intelligence was good. Now, that whole thing could just be a bunch of BS, right? Yeah. It could all be nonsense. And that's probably, from what I've gathered, that's probably what's most likely. But this guy, Steve, whatever his name was, Greer, Stephen Greer, okay? And this is not somebody that I'm taking incredibly seriously. He was the UFO guy. He was saying that he was allowed to brief one of the CIA directors on this UFO stuff. And his claim was, that's above my clearance. So he's like, the things you're saying, I don't know about. This is what he was told by the CIA director. And this guy was, he wasn't like, he didn't show up in a tinfoil hat and, with notebooks, Mel Gibson style, in conspiracy theory, but he was a serious man. He was an MD. And this kind of opened some doors for him. And he said, look, the things you're saying, his claim is that the CIA director said, things you're saying might be true, but what you're talking about, these kinds of projects, is not something that I have access to. So that's either above or it's compartmentalized.
Right. Well, the other thing that this buys these people, all the weird levels and matrices of secrecy, is that even if you are privy to information, you can claim that you're not. Because no one will be able to know whether you are or not. Right? So you everyone's got plausible deniability, no matter what.
Right, because if you could say, because if you're above the president, let's say, theoretically, I really wish I could find this out. If somebody can give me this information, it would be majestic. Okay, so then there is this thing, is the majestic like the government project that was supposed to be above everything where they were doing the UFO. Yes, that was called Majestic. But what you're saying is in this little tier above the president that might be broken down, those people could just be like, oh, it's above mine.
So I'm the president. You're General Smith. I'll be like, hey, General Smith, I need to know about what's going on in Area 51. And you'd be like, yeah, I don't know. And then I'd be like, General Smithwick, what's going on in Area 51? I don't know.
Well, and the other thing too is that Area 51 is like a pop culture term. In the military term is Groom Lake.
Oh,
that's what they call it.
Oh,
so Area 51 is like so. The reason why I say that is because most people are so clueless as to how all this works. It really doesn't even seem like they need to work that hard, even though they do, to protect information. Because most people are like, well, there's president and he knows everything, but he doesn't. I would think that the president is, somebody was saying sometimes, I forget who it was. I was listening to somebody recently that when they look at Obama giving a speech, they just see this terrified, nervous guy and who knows enough to just kind of know how impotent he really is in terms of like exacting any real change in the world.
I wonder at what point his mind was blown in that regard. Do you think that came before the whole presidency thing, during the campaign, after the fact? Like, did it take some time in office to realize, like, holy shit, this, there's nothing I can do here.
Like, where his idealism just went out the window?
Right.
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, he was really riding the wave of not to, you know, make fun of him or his supporters, but it seemed like he was really riding a wave of hope and optimism into office. And I mean, he had enough exposure to government to understand that the changes that he was talking about, if he really believed that, right? Yeah. So,
well, I mean, he was a senator, right?
He was just so he
must have got a taste of it there.
But the book that Dinesh D'Souza wrote about him is interesting too, because it suggests that he was just always like, wherever he went, the door was just opened for him in his like climb to power, that people said, oh yeah, this would be a good guy to, you know, and it was just a very smooth path from, you know, being a community organizer to a state senator to getting in this absentee election to become the state, the regular senator of the two from Illinois, and then president. I mean, it's just very meteoric, his path. So I remember actually, this sounds like a crazy thing, but I remember seeing a news report about Obama, like a news package that had been put together by one of the major networks. And it was probably in 2002. So he was nobody. I swear this is true. I've looked online for it on one of my more conspiratorial nights, because I know this happened. And I remember, because it was so close to 9/11, that I thought it was interesting that his name rhymed with Osama. That's what seared it into my memory. But this was a news package that I saw on CNN or one of the major mainstream media networks. And it was about this young politician, and wouldn't it be neat if somebody like this was president? That was basically dead serious.
Oh,
totally true.
Laying the groundwork.
Somebody in the chat, James says in the chat, Obama Biden, Osama bin Laden. Somebody else says they were groomed. He was groomed. They're all groomed. Somebody else says Majestic 12. Yep, that's what it is. I knew there was a number. Is the supposed code name of the alleged secret committee of scientists, military leaders, and government officials formed in 1947 by an executive order by President Harry S. Truman. The purpose of the committee would be to investigate the recovery of a UFO. Guessing FO. Yeah.
So is that like a, hey, none of these guys will tell me what's going on, you guys go figure it out kind of thing? Or?
Well, there might not have even been, the government might not have even been that structured, because I'm thinking that a lot of the modern structure of intelligence and secrecy and classification and compartmentalization probably came to be through the establishment of the CIA, right? So before that, and like if you go back even like before the FBI, there was probably a lot less structure to the secrecy in the government.
Maybe. I gotta believe like the Department of War had their own system of security, right?
I would think so. Anything else? Anyone want to call? Some new listeners are coming in. We still have to, for the sake of editing the podcast, I still do have to talk about connectivism briefly, just to get a soundbite to put that into the show. That's quite a process to get back on that track. Maybe I should just do that in post-production. What time's our movie at?
It's at 9:50.
Oh, wow. We've got some time to do stuff then. Let's see. Yeah, let me just go back to what we were talking about in the first hour here. We were discussing theories of learning. A listener named John, who actually has had a couple of good posts on the boards at schoolsexproject.com, put this infographic up called Theories of Learning that goes through the traditional theories of learning, which is behaviorism, cognitivism, and constructivism that we talked about while I read my paper from graduate school in the first hours. But he also mentions this other one called connectivism, where it says recognize and connect. So I wanted to just talk about this briefly, and then we can take some calls, do some after show, whatever. Connectivism is a theory of learning which emphasizes the role of the social and cultural context, opposed to a more essentialist notion which foregrounds the individual. Connectivism is often associated with and proposes a perspective similar to Vygotsky's zone of proximal development, ZPD, an idea later transposed to Engström. Let's call it Engström. 3, 2, 1. How I edit. Engström's activity theory. Central to connectivism is the relationship between work experience, learning, and knowledge, as expressed in the concept of connectivity, thus the root of the theory's name. It bears some similarity to Bandura's social learning theory that proposes that people learn through contact. The add-on, a learning theory for the digital age, that appears in Siemens' paper indicates the emphasis it gives to how technology affects how people live, how they communicate, and how they learn. The principles. Learning and knowledge rest in diversity of opinions. Learning is a process of connecting specialized nodes of information sources. Learning may reside in non-human appliances. Learning is more critical than knowing. Maintaining and nurturing connections is needed to facilitate continual learning. Perceiving connections between fields, ideas, and concepts is a core skill. Currency, accurate up-to-date knowledge, as they define it, is the intent of learning activities. And decision-making itself is a learning process, choosing what to learn and the meaning of the incoming information is seen through the lens of a shifting reality. While there is a right answer now, it may be wrong tomorrow due to alterations in the information climate affecting the decision. All of these things, if you just read a brief synopsis of them, seem pretty innocuous, but all of these general learning theories, going back to all the ones we talked about, but when you see them exist in the environment of schools and all of the political attachments to the government schooling system, it's easy to see how they can become distorted and perverted. I'm sure that most of them were probably formulated with not the worst of intentions. Maybe some, in some cases. It's really hard to defend behaviorism, even though I did it in my paper.
You did?
I did. But that's because I thought it was tied to, instructor-centered learning, which I still think there is a place for. And I think that if you're a podcaster, you have a YouTube channel, and you consider it to be educational, you're still doing that to a certain extent. So, thoughts on that? Tried calling, says it's not available. All right, try something else. Hey, here's an idea. You want to call on Skype? All right, somebody wants to call. I'm going to sign in as my regular... No, that's a bad idea. Let me try to sign in as School Sucks one more time. Hello, new people. Welcome. Skype home unavailable. Skype is unavailable at the moment. Check back later. What the hell does that mean? Somebody try to call from a... Who was the person who called from an 856 number? Witches. What? Somebody in the chat try to call. Who was the person who tried to call? Give me your name. Someone says, do you feel like talking about the 10-year anniversary of the Iraq War? I'll talk about whatever you want. My pleasure. Liberty Maths. Try me again. Says I'm online. And what do you think, Osborne? We'll just kind of sit here and wait.
Sure.
See what happens. This will make a great video. Sitting and waiting. Sitting for calls.
Eating.
So what about Silver Linings Playlist? Can't we see that? It's not playing anymore?
It is.
Don't you want to see that?
No.
But, really?
I could be persuaded. For sure.
All right.
That one's been out for a long time. That should be out on DVD very soon.
Yeah, I'm really surprised you haven't seen that.
Why would you? That sounds like the opposite of a movie that I would watch.
What do you think it's about?
It looks like some fruity chick movie.
No, it's about these two mentally ill people who fall in love, and I think they have like OCD.
Well, I do like Bradley Cooper, and I do like Jennifer Lawrence.
De Niro is in it.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's also directed by David O. Russell.
Okay. That plays at 9:30. So if you would like, we can watch that.
I would like to see that, and I would like to eat some popcorn tonight.
Okay.
To treat myself to a nice tub of popcorn.
And you feel like you would like that better than Burt Wonderstone?
I don't know. What do you think? What's Burt Wonderstone? Somebody asked, what are we going to see tonight? We're talking about
Steve
that right
Carell
now.
Steve Carell and Steve Buscemi. They're Vegas magicians.
Well, that movie sounds like it's going to follow the whole Ron Burgundy formula, where it's like, ha ha, look at this. It's like a long time ago, but not too long ago, where you kind of like remember when things were like this, but ha, isn't it funny that things used to be like this?
And yeah, you take it to hyperbole and for laughter purposes.
And look at our shoes, our funny shoes, look at our funny suits. Look at our antics that we had in the 70s. Remember the 70s, everybody? Isn't it 70s? That's what it'll be like.
Gotcha.
Now, could that be funny? Like Ron Burgundy, like Anchorman, which is very funny and very enjoyable, but it's a formula. What other movies are like that? It seems like it's something. That
Everything from Adam Sandler's Company.
The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Nailed it, Brett. I feel like that with the most new movies nowadays, it's all too recognizable. Same formulas. Austin Powers. Didn't Adam Sandler have his company? Didn't he do another movie? And he always puts those same clowns in his movie. And there's usually a monkey in there, which I don't mind.
Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy.
Oh.
Somebody sent me a voice message. Let's play it. Oh, don't delete it.
Oh.
It won't let me play it. All right. Something is wrong with Skype. Well, it won't let me make a call. All right. Here's what I'm going to try and do. I'm going to sign out of Skype. I'm going to sign in with my personal account, which is B.A. Vinat. So if you want to call me on Skype and Skype only, I am now signed in as B.A. Vinat. This would be, you know, I went through all this work to get the connections right. Okay, yeah, I'm online.
That one works.
Yep, I appear to be that online.
So weird.
As B.A. Vinat. So B.A. Vinat, V-E-I-N-O-T-T-E. You can call us there. And I will receive your Skype call. I would love to have one call. It would really be validating for the live show.
We haven't had a call in
weeks.
A month now.
Well, no, people have tried to call. They haven't been able to.
Right.
Phones down, dude. You know what? I'm going to go through my contact list and call somebody. Dan Lockemacher, I don't know if he'd be happy to hear from me.
Oh, do you have a falling out?
Oh, no. I just don't think he'd like me calling him while we're live on the radio and being like, hey, Dan, you want to talk to us for a while, even though I haven't talked to you in about a year? Tony, Stefan Molyneux.
Hello there, Brett.
Want to prank Stefan Molyneux? Brian Hagan. He's somebody we could call.
He'll talk.
Some British voice says it's not available.
Weird.
Skyrocketing flight. I'm trying to make a Skype test call. Oh.
You.
Hi, this is Hi. Brett. I'm testing Skype. I would like to see if Skype works. I'm done.
Hi,
this is Brett. I'm testing Skype. I would like to see if Skype works. I'm done. That was fun. All right, so it was good to hear a Skype call. And I believe I have a new contact request. Isn't this exciting, everybody, to be... So we need a guy to do this. Liberty Maths, you have been added to my contacts, and you are welcome to call the show.
Liberty Math.
Yeah. I think what people will enjoy is the excitement that when they hear callers, they hear themselves as callers, and the excitement that they're greeted with when they call the show. I don't get this. This is some kind of a joke that people are playing on us. In the meantime, I will continue to read from the chat. I thought Skype was free for the most part. Am I wrong? Skype is not free for me because I pay to be able to call landlines on one account. That's good for interviews because not everybody uses Skype. And I also pay on the other account $18 every 3 months to have a phone number that people can call, 843-JOIN-SSP, which is not the account I'm logged into right now. Right now I'm logged into my personal account, B.A. Vinat. So that's the skinny on the cost of Skype. I think so. Are you familiar with David O. Russell?
No.
We'll talk about him in a bit. William, you are on School Sucks Live. How are you?
Huh?
Hello.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You have headphones?
No.
All right. Can you turn me down as low as possible while still being able to hear me?
Oh, wait. All right.
No, it's okay. As long as you could turn me down a little, I think you're okay.
All right.
That's actually fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. I do have headphones, but it's like weird to set up. I can't see you, though.
No, you won't be able to see me. All our cameras are set up to another computer for streaming the video.
Oh.
So
you want to try to get somebody else to try to call the phone number, because it just wasn't working for me.
Oh, well, maybe they sent me a notification and I didn't see it and I forgot to pay them. Maybe like you have to pay every 3 months for the phone number. So if you go to my inbox, you'll see about 100 messages every day claiming that new users signed up for accounts on the website, and about 80 of them are spammers. So that could have been what happened.
I see.
So I could have just missed a notification that account could be, the phone number could be down. But certainly a problem that I can fix during the week. So what's on your mind?
Sorry. It's just, glad to be able to get on the air again. I was trying to contact you guys for a while.
Oh, you're Bill. You're Bill from New Jersey.
That's me.
Oh, well, it's nice to talk to you and see you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, man. Likewise. I had an idea that I guess I wanted to shoot by you guys, man.
Okay.
See what anybody thought about it. I'm really interested in what you guys do. I think it'd be cool to have my own show, just like you guys have, only it would be like an education thing too. Only I would give free, it would be like a free math tutoring thing. I would just tutor math for free. Anybody who had any kind of math questions or help or anything, or if like homeschool people needed help writing a curriculum or coming up with something or had any questions, I would entertain all kinds of those things for like nothing but donations.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking about doing something similar for the SAT specifically.
Yeah.
Perhaps we create a
new network. I know that my kids need a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of would like to have a way to be able to help them, like through Skype, where they could watch me work out problems and things like that, or you know, maybe just have a regular show where people just call up and just talk about, you know, how much school sucks and education and all that stuff. I was sort of wanting to get an idea of maybe if I wanted to maybe have some feedback just to see if that was like a marketable idea, if you think it would have any legs.
Yes, absolutely. Now I would do it like this. This would be my advice, because this is how I was going to do it if I do the SAT thing. Use push marketing. So what you do is you make YouTube videos that are helpful. I would even go through the whole SAT, right? So maybe create a total of 3 hours of videos for all three parts of the SAT, and some commentary on, you know, should you take the SAT? Should you go to college? Mm-hmm. And if people find it helpful, so I'll try to be pleasant and engaging. If you need additional services, if you're struggling in a certain area, please contact me. Tutoring services are available. I am, reachable on Skype and far more affordable than any in-person tutoring services in your area, I promise. And then I would just have to, undercut whatever the competition is. And if you did, $25 an hour for SAT tutoring, you're cheaper than anything that I've ever heard of. So, unless somebody has some kind of deal through their school where they march 1,000 kids into the gymnasium and they tutor them all at once for $15 each. I mean, that's pretty much what the competition has been like, is that SAT companies go in and they make deals with the school. So, I mean, that's only partially relevant to what you're talking about. So if you had a way of doing it that was different, because you're talking specifically about math, so if you had a way of doing it that was different from how Khan does it, I think there would be something very appealing about that. And the
con, the existence of the con thing might even work to your advantage, because now people know that YouTube is a place to go if they're looking for quick tutorials in math.
Yeah, I do have I do have several hours of videos already posted online. I've kind of been doing that for a while, but they're mainly on specific topics. Sometimes if I I'll teach like a full lesson, like something that I did that day in class. But I was really interested in having, like, trying to find some kind of a way to have an entire legit curriculum put up, complete with like homework problems and even like tests and quizzes, so the kids could judge their own levels of proficiency and mm-hmm. things like that. I really want to know how I could help homeschoolers homeschool their own kids, and possibly have like a thing where I could have actual online classes, where maybe through Skype or Uvu or something else, some other kind of a video thing where everybody could like sign in and I could teach the actual class for a ridiculously cheap price, because it's really not about the money. I just like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's what we do.
Don't really know where to start.
So are you guys familiar with a site called Chatterbait?
No.
Okay, so it's this website where you can you set up an account and you have a camera feed, and this, and there's I don't know what you call it, a chat group that's associated with your camera feed,
mm-hmm.
where people can log in for free and see the chat, see your video, hear your audio, and you can control it in various ways. Like if you want to have a private screening of your video, then you can lock everyone out except for the people who have paid you. And there's a whole a tipping system involved, where if you like what you're seeing on this camera, you tip some tokens to the person running the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, there, this particular site I mentioned is not geared toward tutoring.
No,
at least not for,
it doesn't sound it. Yeah.
not for math anyway. But you could imagine what it would be like if it were.
Right.
And you can also record videos and have those associated with your account. So someone's watching your camera feed and, oh, they see you have a video on algebraic topology, and maybe they want to buy your video. Or there's an entire curriculum on different topics of probability, and they might want to either buy or view your videos if you want to provide them for free, and then they can donate through the tipping system toward your betterment.
I think that would be a fantastic model, and I mean, I've even talked
with
people in the past, Bill, about like this guy, Alec Mueller, and he had a partner at the time. I'm not sure if they're still working together. His name is Daniel Royer. They're the first guest I ever had on the show, I think. And they had this website called Alakees, which still exists. And they were trying to build this network of, teachers and learners that would do a lot of that would accomplish a lot of the things that we're talking about. And the challenge, I think, would be if it was a whole thing like Chatterbait for educational topics, the challenge would be getting people to fill it with content. So I don't think you would want initially, like if you're just talking about your own model for success, he wouldn't want to rely on other people to populate it. But that kind of a framework must, if it exists
right. But if you set up the framework, then you can be the only one on it and you can direct people to it, and other people see what you're doing and they want to get in on it too.
So I think that maybe the first thing would be to see how easy it is to have that kind of web framework.
Well, I happen to know someone who runs one of these companies.
Yeah, he's been on the show before.
He has. Maybe we could ask him what it would take to construct such an apparatus.
Please do, because I'm very interested in making this happen. I the more time I spend in a traditional school, it's like the more I feel like it's not really working for pretty much all parties involved. And I think it can be done a whole lot better for a lot less money. And it's, I feel like I'm being like drawn to this. And it's something that I really am interested in doing. And if you could somehow put me in contact what this guy, like, what is he? He's like a programmer? Or
Yeah. And
want to have him on the show, see if he'll come on the show next week?
I'll talk to him this week.
Yeah, maybe we can get him to come on the show. And we
so
can...
the question is, if I help you, can we call it Matherbate?
That's a foregone conclusion. <I'm not sure>.
Well, yeah, all right. So one more piece of advice. I think that as far as like trying to, one thing that might turn people away is if you're trying to package courses and sell them. I think what you can sell on the internet, because if you think about how much competition there is, like, okay, here's a whole course on trigonometry, right? Somebody right around the corner is offering it for free, right? Whether it's YouTube or whether it's Khan, somebody else has it for free. So what I think you really need to do is tailor something, be able to tailor things towards people's individual needs. In other words, the service that people pays for or the people pay for is you say, you come to me, you tell me what your individual issues are. And
oh, no,
we'll
no,
work
that's
together.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
No. I would never want to prepackage anything and say, you buy this.
Right. Okay.
Because I've seen other people do that. I've seen like people try to tutor Spanish, and it's like, you call me, I'm going to talk to you only in Spanish, and we're going to do it my way. And I'm looking at that thing and like, that's really unattractive. I wouldn't want to do that. The idea here is for I do whatever you want. You just have to tell me somehow, and if a lot of people have sort of similar interests, I will kind of put it together.
Put them together, sure. Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like if I'm just assuming that a lot of people who are homeschoolers or people who just, you know, unschoolers or whatever, just don't like what the government is offering, they probably have some similar interests. And I feel like there's a big untapped market there for you know, giving people what they want, because that's what I want to do. I want to provide what people want, and but yeah, I agree. I agree 100% that it would have to be that you know, that flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So I guess step one would be we talk to our friend, we get him on the show, and. You know, we see what kind of work goes into something like that. You know, the way I was thinking about doing it was for the SAT, as simple as possible, making three playlists: one SAT math, one SAT critical reading, one SAT writing. Maybe each one has 10 videos in it. Maybe they're 5 or 6 minutes each, and try to offer the simplest. Like, I think that the thing that people are often looking for online is the simplest. And I just know that from my own experience, right? Because like, I'll want to figure out, I'm just trying to think about some things recently. How do I make a mailing list in Gmail, which you would think would be very intuitive and easy to do. So I Google, how do I make a mailing list in Gmail? Somebody says, how to make a mailing list in Gmail in 11 steps. I say, ain't nobody got time for that, you know? So I'm looking now for somebody who will say, I can do it in 7. I can do it in 5. It's the same thing, you know, pretty much, well, a lot of the stuff that I've learned with like Sony Vegas or with Audacity, the program that I use to record the podcast, or Ustream, the program that I use to stream the show, everything was like, who will get my attention to their website by giving me the least time-consuming way to get from A to Z, right? Which is what I want to do. So I think that's one of the things that's marketable on the internet is, I will help you faster than anybody else. You know, one of the most annoying things to me anyway, is when somebody makes a video called How to XYZ, right? And the video is 14 minutes long when it could have been 3 minutes. Because they do like, they have an intro graphic, and then they talk about, oh, you know,
it's like flashing up that tells you what the title of it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of, I mean, I
was doing this two nights ago. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a video on how to replace a toilet fill valve.
Yeah.
And I did the exact thing that you were just talking about. Wanted to find the shortest possible video to watch. And there are all these videos, 15 minutes long, 20 minutes long. I found one that was 2 minutes long. It showed me everything I needed to know. There's no reason to watch a 15-minute one.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of intro and a lot of talk, yeah.
Now
I know exactly what you mean.
I'd be a real hypocrite if I was going to criticize people for being chatty, you know, when there's a point that they could get to. So I think it depends on what you're doing. I mean, I think with the podcast, if people are listening, they like to hear us talk. They like the conversational style to the show, and they accept that. And at the end of it, they kind of trust that they will have realized some educational value of investing an hour of their time. But very rarely, I think, will somebody, you know, email me and say, you know, your show is just too fatty. You know, what you do in an hour, you could accomplish in 15 minutes, which is if people were only trying to strip the show down to its pure educational value, we've done 2 hour shows that could have taken 3 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't think
sure.
that's
no, there is definitely something to be said for the format that you guys have. I mean,
sure.
I'd like to just, I mean, just as like a compliment, I did want to say that, a while ago, you guys turned me on to Free Talk Live.
Mm-hmm.
I said that I liked how this show was, and you said, well, you ought to try Free Talk Live. So I tried that, and I do listen to it. I like it, but I like this a whole lot better because it's not as in your face, I guess, and as fast as those other guys talk.
Yep, there's a reason they're on the radio.
Like, and you guys just have like a more calm, relaxed demeanor about yourselves, and you're not rude to people when they call. That as far as I, to me, it sounds like they like to hang up in people's ears a lot. And so
yeah, that show good. is all about minimizing dead airspace.
Yeah, which is that's pretty common with the radio. I mean, when you first called us a couple months ago, I had just taken the show off their network because I felt like, first of all, the biggest problem for me was editing the show. And trying to make it seem like a kind of smooth, fluid conversation when we were being interrupted every 10 minutes by breaks. So I'd have to, you know, it would take me days to edit one of those podcasts down to something that seemed to be somewhat seamless. And I also didn't like the franticness of it. I didn't like the feeling that I had to sit here and keep just saying nonsense. Well, I wanted to just tell everybody, look, I have three major technical problems right now that have 97% of my attention, and I'm just going blah blah blah. I'm on the radio, got to keep talking, you know.
Yeah.
So I sympathize with the challenges that they have. It definitely has a certain appeal, and it was certainly a very important show for me. But I really like just doing this Ustream only thing because I can say, well, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about right now. I'm going to go to Google and try to correct that. And I am able to do that. So, yeah, I'm glad. Again, that's validating for me that was the right decision to take the show off LRN. It was. It was just too frantic for
cool.
me.
Cool. Yeah, all right. I'm down with that.
All now, right, Mark nice. Edge is also allergic to caffeine, and he drinks it, and it makes him go crazy. That's part of the problem. No, I mean, but those guys do a great job, and I mean, I listen to every episode of Free Talk Live probably for 2 or 3 years, and it's really good for people who are just wetting their toes, dipping their toes into this these ideas.
Yes, that's true. It is a very good program in its own right, but
yeah.
There's definitely room for other kinds of things out there, which is, and you kind of cater to that, which is cool. Just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for any assistance that you could offer me with this. If you think that you could get this guy on at some point soon, or do you have an email address that I could get hooked up with?
I'm going to message him tonight.
Osborne's going to message him, and we could see if he could join us next Thursday, which would make him available to take calls.
I don't know if this is a discussion we want to have out in the open.
Really?
I think we might want to keep further discussions close to the vest.
You don't think this should be a podcast?
I don't know.
I'm picturing a podcast where we take the audio from this conversation and the audio from that conversation. We put it all together and call it Matherbait.
Maybe once we have a product, and maybe if we get that domain name before someone takes it.
You can't call it math or bait. You can't.
Absolutely. What are you talking about? The more I think about it, the more brilliant it is. Can you imagine the publicity you'd get right out of the gate by calling it that?
That's true.
Maybe the site itself isn't called Mathrebate. Maybe it's called Natural Education for the Modern Age. But we can link to it with the URL mathrebate.com, right? You know, a forwarding address.
What'd you say, Bill?
Yeah. Exactly what he just said. I could register that domain, but have it ship, but have it go to the actual site when it,
sure,
otherwise known as Mathrebate.
Right.
Masturbation.
All right. So yeah, we'll see if we can put you in touch with him. And maybe Osborne and I can talk about whether it should be an on the air thing or off the air thing.
Whatever you guys feel like doing. I don't want to monopolize the time of the show, but, yeah, I will definitely tune in next week, and I do look forward to this every week, and I'm a religious listener, so.
Great. And you've seen the website and all that?
I have.
Great.
Oh, also, before I go, I want to get my kids, my students, I want to give them a reason to tune in here somehow. So if you can, think of a way that a teacher like myself, like some kind of an incentive that I could give them to listen to the show. Like maybe if you listen at some point, there would be something that they could, some way that I could check to see that they actually listened to it.
You have secret word
of
the day.
You know what I mean? Like I could say, I don't know. I'm
do you want it to have something to do with math?
Sort of spread this out there somewhat, huh?
You want it to have something to do with math?
Nah, it doesn't have anything. Not especially. I'm just trying. I want to think of reasons to get kids, to get my kids, to tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a link to you on my Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and I know at least one kid tuned in because he said that you were talking about something interesting. That's a quote. I don't know what it was, but I was really happy to see that somebody actually did click it and thought enough about it to actually bring it up in class. So
that's excellent. I'm glad to hear it, and thank you for promoting it. So
no problem, man.
Yeah, let's stay in touch, and we'll see what we can figure out for you, and I'll let you know about any progress that I have as I go forward with my own project. And you know, I mean, I've certainly been in the trenches on some of this technical stuff. So if I can help you from what I've learned, I'd be happy to do that. So don't hesitate to reach out to me at any time.
All right, cool. Thanks, man. I'll catch up with you guys like next week then.
All right, cool.
Have a week, gentlemen.
Thanks, Bill. Take care. All right, everyone. That was Bill, right, one of my new favorite callers.
I like him even better with the video.
Yeah.
With his cool bandana and whatnot.
Sure. Yeah. Someone says, in my opinion, well, what are they talking about? Good job, Brett. Too loopy for everyone. James as well. Wait, what happened? Something major has happened in the chat. Ooh. I'd like to hear from Larry the Liberal. Call Free Talk Live, somebody says. That would be a funny thing to do.
Except don't get yourself cut off this time.
If you say lizard Jews, they cut you off. What are you going to see tonight? I've been here. Call Free Talk Live. All right, somebody.
So if you want to make the 9:30 show, we should probably get wrapped up here.
Yeah. I'd like to hear from Larry the Liberal. I'm just making sure that there's some kind of thing going on. Good job, Brett. Too loopy for everyone.
Loopy.
Alex Jones interviewed by Billy Corbin today. Video troubles. Go back. The LRN. Did something go wrong? Is anything wrong? The LRN was loopy. What is the LRN? Choppy. The call was choppy? His audio was choppy during the call? It's choppy now. Nothing is wrong. Well, geez, thanks. My goodness. Maybe I shouldn't pay attention, but you have to pay attention to this chat. All right, so David O. Russell directed I Heart Huckabees. Have you seen that?
I tried to watch it one time. I didn't get it.
Three Kings.
Saw that.
Did you love it?
I don't remember loving it.
With Ice Cube and Mark Wahlberg and George Clooney and Spike Jonze?
I am generally a fan of those gentlemen, but I don't remember caring for the movie.
About the Iraq War? You sure?
It was so many years ago, sir.
I think that's a brilliant. I love David O. Russell. David O. Russell, Wes Anderson, P.T. Anderson. Well, good night, folks. We're going to get out of here. I got to clean up. Got a lot of mixing down to do. And I'm also would like to stop at the supermarket to get some sugar-free candy for the movies to go with my popcorn.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please help us out by leaving a positive review on iTunes. If you were angered by the show, please help us out by leaving negative reviews everywhere. If you think this is an important message for students, for parents, or for the future of intellectual freedom, please consider supporting us. SchoolSucksProject.com/AV. For $6 a month, you'll get access to hundreds of additional hours of content while helping us grow and spread this message further.